You are listening to episode number 94 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
No, you're not. Run away! Run away! Run!
Run! Have a seat right there. Yeah, right over there. Have a seat.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
Iggy Smash! You are listening to episode number 94 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. That'll wake you up if you're listening to our morning commute. As I just said in the beginning, I am your always lovable host, Iggy, a.k.a. Ben, who is right in the middle of South by Southwest. I'm actually not doing it live, but it's going down 10 minutes from where I live. Joining me all the way from New York City, first and foremost, Arnold. Arnold, welcome to the show.
Yo.
And, of course, from the other borough of New York City, Taser, welcome to the show.
I'm hungry. I've been on a diet for the past 6 weeks. I'd fucking kill for a slice of pizza. And that's the truth.
Well, there you go. We are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. I don't have anything funny to say about that. The Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel. We cover comics, video games, TV, movies, news, lawyer, contracts, whatever you name it, we're going to talk about it in episode 100. Taser's favorite subject. Porn.
Yes.
That being said, let's get right down to business. As it seems, obviously last week we briefly joked about the return of Shazam to the Distinguished Competition in their backup shitty league number whatever. I don't care. That's not a matter. But the more important thing is Marvel released a teaser image, which you can find on our website, of the return of Captain Marvel, the big Captain Marvel logo, the big star kind of thing, flashing light, whatever you want to call it, July 2012. Obviously, this could be many things. This could be the return of the original Captain Marvel, who died famously of cancer in the 1980s. By a lot, who I'm pretty sure a lot of them who are claiming it's classic have not even read the damn story, died as a result of cancer. And he's been dead ever since. They briefly try to bring him back in Civil War, where it was revealed he was in the Negative Zone, something like some convoluted shit, but it turns out that wasn't him, that was a Skrull. Still a damn good miniseries, let's say that. It's still a damn good miniseries, and I loved it. And so now, after years of dick teasing, it seems we may finally get that choice. But the question is, will we? Because personally, according to Bleeding Cool, has now put out the rumor that it won't be the original Captain Marvel returning, or it won't even be Norvar, the current Protector, who's in the Avengers lineup. But it will be, in fact, Ms. Marvel assuming the mantle of Captain Marvel. Now this is
Monica Rambeau, I love you!
And as Taser has alluded to, like I was all over the internet, and people are like, oh, how can there be a different Captain Marvel and yada, yada, yada. I'm like, are you kidding me? Out of every Marvel character that's ever been existed, Captain Marvel's name is legacy. There has been more than one Captain Marvel. Granted, some have sucked others compared to the original one, but the fact is, there's a legacy of different Captain Marvels assuming the mantle. I'm interested to see if it is Ms. Marvel, and, you know, maybe she had an ongoing series that lasted 50 issues, which that's pretty impressive. I honestly am shocked if it's not going to be the Protector, because this whole thing, ever since Bendis reintroduced him into the Avengers, that he was going to be Captain Marvel. Because when we first saw him about 12 years ago, I'm making threats on Earth, going to destroy everything, yada, yada, yada. And of course, he was on Osborn's Dark Avengers, and he's basically trying to be Captain Marvel. He wants to be Captain Marvel. So I want to know, if it's not him, why not him? He seems like the logical choice. That's what they've been building up to. you know. Plus, if he's the protector, you know, he doesn't want to call himself Captain Marvel or Marvel Boy because he doesn't feel like he's earned the name. And if you've seen solicits for Avengers, Secret Avengers, I can't remember what number it is. Captain Marvel's full right there. He's right in the center. And there's some question, maybe Captain Marvel somehow ties into the Phoenix Force. Who the fuck knows anymore? I don't fucking know. I'm a Marvel zombie. This isn't even speculating, Taser. This is nothing confirmed. But I don't know. I hope if it is the original one, not going to throw a bitch fit because I don't have an affinity for the character other than that I've actually read the story where he died, and it's a really great story, but it's like we talked about last week. Him coming back does not negate how powerful that story is. It doesn't. It's a fucking superhero comics. They can bring back whoever they want. Two, it better be fucking Marvel Boy Norvar. It has to be him. Miss Marvel is fine as Miss Marvel. While she's a fine choice to be the next Captain Marvel, fine. I just prefer to see Norvar.
A man. That's what it is. You want a man in the world. That's right. Manly I'm from Texas. Man.
She needs to be kept in her place. That is below Captain Marvel.
I'm sure she's been there.
Oh!
Rule 34.
That's one.
All right, enough of me yabbering because I want to fucking internet trolls think that there's only one Captain Marvel when there isn't. Taser, you obviously know full hand that there's a legacy of the Captain Marvel name. So what are your thoughts on A, either it's actually him returning, or B, of another character taking the mantle?
It's probably going to be Janus because if I remember correctly, when he died or whatever, they were talking about, well, yeah, he could come back. It's just a matter of time and, you know, when or whatever the fuck it is. And unfortunately, I had a whole lot of fucking Janus fans. Excuse my French. I'm trying to cut down on the cussing. There's a whole lot. There were a whole lot of Janus fans that were talking about, oh yeah, he can come back. You know, I didn't read the book. I wasn't a big Marvel fan, regardless of whether it was Janus, Monica, or even Mar-Vell. You know, the character didn't move me at all. I'm thinking Janus. Because, you know, the guy, granted, there's no guarantees in comics. And, you know, the guy's been gone for about 5 years, I think. But, he had a fairly decent run. I don't think his book got canceled due to sales outright. And I know the character was popular. Granted, his sister, yeah, she caught a lot of hell. Actually, there's that. It could be her. You never know. You know what I mean? She's got her father's, you know, DNA. Technically, she could be a Marvel, too. But I'm betting it's going to be Janus. Something just tells me that. Bringing back Mar-Vell would just be like, you know, why? It's like bringing back Barry Allen or God help us, Uncle Ben. You know, the man's been dead for a good 20 years. Why bring him back? There's nothing new that you could tell that, you know, oh, well, now he's back alive and he's struggling to find his place in this new world, you know, new universe. Wow,
he's going to struggle. The writers are going to struggle for somewhere to put him.
Yeah, exactly.
Or something to do with him.
You know, that's why it's I'm hoping and praying it isn't him. You know, let his story got told. Let him rest. Use somebody else that you can easily put your finger on, rather than having to rewrite, you know, and have to bring him back. I mean, because that's just lame. It's done. Don't do it again.
All right. Arnold, what about you? I mean, I don't know how much you know, have a knowledge of Captain Marvel, but what do you think about all of this?
I don't have that much other than the stuff from, excuse me, from Civil War and Secret Invasion and all of that stuff. So I'm really indifferent to this. I think I forgot who was that posted on the boards. It might have been West. Like, really, we've heard more about the name Captain Marvel and Marvel Man and, you know, this, that, the other thing, left and right for like the last 2-3 weeks. This character's really not somebody that's majorly important to me. So have him in, great. Not have him in, it doesn't really matter to me. It progresses with the Protector becoming him. That's all well and good as well, but I'm not going to run out and go out of my way to read his book if he gets his own book, if that ends up being the case. So, I mean, and I kind of agree with Taser. Why is it needed? Like, does anybody really truly feel that the Marvel Universe was lacking for having Captain Marvel? I mean, isn't there a number of other characters you could do that stuff with? But it's the time for everybody to come back now because, you know, Phoenix is on her way, or the Phoenix Force is on her way, going to destroy shit and bring a whole bunch of things back, and then we're going to reboot the Marvel Universe, and it'll be grand old times. But, yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it. I mean, it's no big deal to me. I know it's kind of a big deal for a lot of other people because they like character a lot. I think some of it is all of the legal battle stuff that's going on. It's like, well, we did all this fighting to get this character, so we better do something with him so it doesn't look like we're just being greedy for a fucking name, you know? It's like, oh, well, you know, maybe even a slight mix of, hey, we won, now we're going to put out a book about Captain Marvel, and you can't call your character that and piss off all of your fans, blah, 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 blah.
To be fair, yeah, we don't know if he's getting his own book. We just know the name or himself is coming back. We don't really know anything outside of that.
Well, right. he
that's what I'm saying. If it happens, that's why I said
his own individual book, he can still have a title of whatever story put up called Captain Marvel. You know, DC can't do that regardless.
Well, yeah. To be fair, DC also tried to erase / buy out the original Captain Marvel back in the 30s.
Yep. That dumbass DC.
Because he was competing with Superman and it's winning the sales, so, you know, bite you in the ass 75 years later. Anyways, it's interesting because we can see the return of two potentially beloved characters who died, and one of them who's died at least three times, in Jean Grey and Captain Marvel. I kind of agree with you again, Taser, but like, at the same time, I'm not going to, like, okay, bring him back and let's see what you can do with him. Go from there. AVX is the answer, is all I'm going to fucking say.
Look, about that, and freaking Jean Grey is comics universal cock tease, okay? She dies, she comes back. She dies, she comes back. Leave her dead! I mean, how much more story can you get out of a woman whose big move is sacrificing herself again? Come on! You know? I mean, the only reason why they would bring her back is if they want to mess with Cyclops some more. You know, I say screw that. Leave her gone. You know, do something else. Stop circling around the drain and then, you know, swinging away and then swinging around the drain again. You know, leave Jean Grey dead. People, it's 2012. We don't need to be recycling the same stories and characters. Please, do not bring... And I don't hate the character. Believe me, I don't. I don't have any real problem if she's still a cocktease, but I don't have a problem with that. I'm just saying, advance the work. Don't stifle it.
Agreed.
Leave Jean Grey.
Thank you, Archie Bunker. I'm going to make an audible, because these guys don't know that I'm going to talk about this, but they're going to work. This is how we roll at the Warriors 3. Apparently, obviously we know Iron Man 3 is set to debut in theaters in, I believe it's in 2 years or something like that. It's after the Avengers.
Bizarre.
Whatever. But apparently, there's a rumor, again, I want to say there's rumors and I take it with a grain of salt because it's from fucking Bleeding Cool. So I don't like those guys. That plots/ the story of Iron Man 3 will come from the Avengers movie.
Which
ties into Marvel Cinematic Universe, everything's connected, save the cheerleader, save the world. I like it because it still shows that even though after the thing they've been building towards, they still have, even if it's true, and it still has, they still have a goal, another goal to achieve. Whether, we don't know what the fuck it is, but it's something. So I like that. I hope to God it's the Mandarin. It has to be the Mandarin. There can be nobody else besides the Mandarin. You can't go... Fuck the villain in the first name. Ironmonger. You do Ironmonger, and then you do combination of Whiplash and the Crimson Dynamo. You have to do the Mandarin. He's Iron Man's Joker, his greatest nemesis. You cock-teased him in the first one. And even though I know John Favreau is not there anymore, you have to do him.
Did you see? Excuse me for interrupting, Ben, but did you see the stuff from Latino Review? No offense.
Nah.
They recapped a bit, and they've got nanobots that make villains, nanobots that can also make Tony Stark more than a man in a suit.
Extremists? Ultron. So are you saying this right now?
This is what they've recapped. I'm not confirming anything.
No, apparently it was also video. But so are you saying
that we
might get hints of Ultron in this movie, like I had hoped, and that the continuation will happen in Iron Man 3, and so on and so forth in selective films. God help me if I see the big screen Ultron. But regardless, that doesn't mean he'll be the movie in Iron Man 3. It has to be the Mandarin.
And Avengers leads directly to Iron Man 3.
It has to be the Mandarin. Guantanamo, because he's the only Asian actor who I know. Get him to play the Mandarin. The fun things. Arnold, what do you think about this potential new development?
I think it's interesting. I mean, we know, hopefully it's more than just like an after credits scene, you know, when they call dropping hints, because then, I mean, we've all seen that before, so it's not really dropping hints, but I don't think it's going to be that. I think it's going to be some actual in-story stuff that, you know, may or may not be apparent to the general public as a whole, maybe till they see Iron Man, but for us, we might be able to pick up on it. But I'm totally down for it. I'm digging it. We've said it numerous times before that we all can't wait to see Avengers. And, of course, getting any hints to what's coming later down the road is always great. So I hope it's true.
All right. Taser, anything last second before we move on to the next subject?
All I can say is just the theoretical ideas alone is making me jizz in my pants. That's all I can say. Jizz in my pants.
Ultron is arguably one of the Avengers' greatest villains. So let's move on to another movie product, this time from a lesser studio, Sony. Obviously, we know The Amazing Spider-Man will debut in this summer. Is it July? I think it's July. And, of course, Sony will still not let the idea die of a Venom spinoff. Obviously, because Eddie Brock died at the end of and the symbiote all but disappeared at the end of Spider-Man 3, it's safe to say if they're going to do this, it's going to take place in this, even if it has to fit with the Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man world, whatever. Anyways, and supposedly the lead candidate is the guy who directed Chronicle, which I haven't seen it yet, so I can't judge, but I heard a lot of people really liked it. He seems to be the hot commodity with Fox torting him for Fantastic Four.
If you've never seen any movie at all in your life, then The Chronicle was a good movie. That's all I'll say.
Okay. If he's going to get if Sony's willing to pay him a lot of money to make a Venom movie, hey, more power to him.
He can take a run at a bank, and then Sony will go, hey, what the hell? Where's our money?
I'll say this. While we all pretty much universally say we really enjoy, except with the recent story, enjoy the new incarnation of Venom. Before that, if you said Venom ongoing, I would have said, fuck you, that's going to be horrible. Because Venom, as by himself, as just a mindless monster, villain, anti-hero, whatever, is a horrible idea.
That's not necessarily true. His other comic series that I read before, was pretty good.
Just personally me. I'm talking about when he first showed up in Spider-Man with Tom Holland drawing him, the great... I liked him when he was there. Not all about him. Him and Eddie Brock and Venom. He's great as that character. Not as the lead in terms of that aspect. In terms of it being him the anti-hero. Whereas they did, say for whatever reason they decide to do the government agent thing, I would see that because I like this current iteration of Venom. Because it's not exactly the same as some of the other stuff that you're doing with him in the 90s and running him into the ground. if you, they're just going to make him the monster who bites things head off, I'm like, that'll be fun for about half an hour. Then what's the story? What's the point? Why are we watching this character? You know, I don't, I never read a Venom ongoing before this because it just wasn't interesting enough to read a Venom ongoing. There's only so much you can do with that character and what makes that character interesting. I'd much rather read a Carnage ongoing because at least you can do insane shit with him. Because he'll
You're
kill.
Saying you can't do insane crap with Eddie Brock, but you can.
Because Venom, Venom isn't. The Venom I know has, other than Spider-Man, isn't really ready to kill anybody. If you get in his way, if you get
he's
in his
tons
way,
of people as Venom.
If you get in his way, yes, as Eddie Brock, if you get in his way, he will kill you, and then he'll feel bad about it because he's Catholic and Catholic guilt. But he's not an outright psychopathic murderer like Carnage is, or Cletus Kasady. So I don't see the point of doing a Venom movie. He works.
Well, you know,
he works as the bad guy.
To jump in, that could be the hook right there. You could have it whereby you start. You don't have to start from like him getting the symbiote, you know, and moving on. You could have it where he's already been Venom, and he's. Let's say he's trying to come to grips with, you know, the whole, well, I need to try not to hate Spider-Man, whatever the hell. And then you hear that he catches word that somebody's cloned him and made Carnage. And there you go. You can make
that sort of can work, but that would have to be their second storyline because we all know they love themselves an origin movie.
Yep.
Fair enough.
But I don't know how you can do an origin movie with Venom without Spider-Man. You can't do it.
The Incredible Hulk wasn't an origin movie. Yeah, they tossed it in there because they wanted to redo the origin, but that took all of 2 minutes.
Right.
You know? So I'm just saying, you could do the exact same thing with this movie. You know, just toss in there, you got his ass beat by Spider-Man, and he ran limping up to the Adirondack, you know, to the mountains.
You said it right the first time.
You know, yeah, and he, you know, he tried to come to grips, you know, went pussy boy or whatever. And, you know, like I said, come to find out, you know, and you could toss in Carnage, Anti-Venom. There you go. Anti-Venom's like the big one, you know. Carnage is the one that's got loose and started all the chaos. But Anti-Venom, once he backtracks and you know, you guys could name the other Venom.
Toxin.
You know, yeah, exactly. He could, you know. Fight them on along the way, but when he gets back,
that sounds like a great video game concept.
I'm just saying, you know,
Doxin's supposed to be coming back in the comics too, actually.
I would have no interest in this movie. I got to be honest, because Venom, personally, does not move me. Granted, having Flash with it, okay, yeah, we got some, but Eddie Brock was a moron, you know, and somebody
it's
who
true.
Just. He hated somebody who had no clue of him and just his life
who
is
paid him no mind when he wasn't blowing up shit.
Yeah, exactly. So you know what? Screw him. I hate douchebags like
that. I don't know. Fuck Carnage. I just love saying that. Arnold, do you have anything to say about this topic?
I'm kinda in the same boat. I just don't know where you can, depending on who they decide to go with. With Eddie Brock, I don't really know where you could possibly go with that for a full hour and a half to a potential two-hour movie. With Flash, I could understand a little bit. You know, you can totally take it the whole, he was in the army. You can take all of that, then you can just take the whole experimental symbiote thing that somebody was creating and they wanted to give him a whole second chance kind of deal. And, you know, kind of work Flash Thompson's angle into it. Just not so much Eddie Brock's. Like, I really, it would be hard pressed to figure out how it works with him without having Spider-Man, which almost automatically, I guess, makes Venom the villain once you have Spider-Man around. So yeah, and again, how are there really still a lot of people out there clamoring for a Venom movie?
Oh yeah.
Nah, that's
people love Venom.
No, I'm aware. Like, but. Still, like, I find it so hard to believe. And don't get me wrong, I love Venom. I think he's a great character, but I'm in no rush. Like, if I saw an ad for it or something like that, unless it blew me away, was I going to be like, oh, fuck yeah, they're making a Venom movie, you know?
Yeah.
Well, okay. How about this? If saying it does actually, you know, get made, or, you know, yeah, we're making it made, who would you pick to direct it?
Sam Raimi.
Because he did so well the last time.
Hey, that was his big fuck you to the, hey, you want me to put Venom here? Eat this.
What about you, A-Train?
I'm trying to think. I can't even reference with the new dude because I haven't seen Chronicle.
You did yourself a favor. It's freaking predictable.
I don't know. Robert Rodriguez.
You know somebody what? Ran Robert crazy. No, not Venom movie, but fuck.
Quentin Tarantino for Venom.
The guy who directed Sin City, Robert Rodriguez.
Robert Rodriguez.
No, he shouldn't direct Venom. He should direct Carnage. That's right up his alley.
I say I'm gonna go old school and say John Carpenter.
Oh, nice. That could be pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, I think give John Carpenter the reins, and he would add. If we're doing Flash Thompson, then I think that it would be he could do him right, and you know, give him a nice dark edge, especially if he harkens back to Escape from New York, and not so much L.A., but more Escape from New York, and The Thing, you know, very somber, depressing, serious tones. And plus, John Carpenter hasn't done anything in a while, and I'd like to see a movie from him. I would give it to John Carpenter.
Sylvester Stallone.
Oh God!
Has he directed anything?
Rocky?
Oh no, he did Rambo.
Yeah, Rambo.
He did. Yeah, you know what? There's guns. A whole lot of guns.
And you know what? Him. If it was the Flash Thompson version of Venom, yes, he's perfect.
As Flash Thompson?
No. Not as Flash. Just the direction. Because
he knows about. Okay, yeah, I'll agree with that. Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to our final topic, which is obviously we know the digital price point is digital is being moved on. A lot of more focus on digital, yada, yada, yada. This summer, all of Marvel's $3.99 titles will now come. You've seen them in the Ultimate books where they come with an optional. Hey, if you bought this, you get a free digital download of the same comic you can download on your tablet or your iPad 3 or whatever. So now that's going to be happening with all their $3.99 books, all the Avengers titles, a lot of the X-Men books. So now you'll have the choice to read it here, and if you don't want to take your issue with here, you can download it on their Marvel app, take it wherever you want, yada yada, waste your battery life. My thing is, I don't give a fuck about that because I have all the ones for Ultimate Spider-Man. I haven't even downloaded any of them. But if you look at it, while we do give the distinguished competition shit, the one thing I'll say they have done well is the digital thing in that, okay, it'll be cover price for that first month, fine. But after a month, it drops a dollar. Now, a dollar isn't a lot to a lot of people, but it is a lot to me. And I've checked out at least a lot of things because it dropped the dollar price. And I was able to, and I don't want to get this week, so I'll wait a month. And then I don't have to get that month. I can wait a little while. Whereas if you look at Marvel Comics, I'll say this. Ultimate X-Men came out in September 2011. I went to go look because Arnold has been talking. Y'all been talking about the series. Okay, I'm interested in the series. And obviously you would think, oh, the price must be $1.99, $2.99, something like that. I'll read it. Still fucking $3.99. I'm not paying that much for a digital comic. Why do you guys think Marvel hasn't dropped their price point on this when their whole point, because everything's going to be, I think in a couple of weeks, is going to be day and date. So you're going to get the stuff day and digital with everything. Or not, it's already happened. Why do you think Marvel hasn't dropped the price point? Taser, you first.
Because they're Marvel and they suck. Yeah, there you go.
Arnold, what about you?
Okay, and just to make sure I'm getting this right, you're talking about the digital comics still being $3.99 as well?
Yeah, exactly. Like, if I was to buy it on the Marvel comic or Comixology or any other comic apps, instead of it being lower in price after 7 months, it's still cover price.
Right. Well, when most places are doing things for cheaper than cover price, it does seem different. I think, and I may be giving them too much credit, they may be looking at it from an angle that people who buy the floppies aren't going to buy the digital and vice versa, so they're still going to get the full price for the issue. Even though they didn't have to spend extra money to print it, etc., whatever the case may be. That could be a case of it. I mean, that's really probably one of the best things I can think of. I mean, now they're giving away the ones for free, which makes it odd, again, that they're still charging $3.99 for those with the books that aren't coming free, or if they're giving it away free anyway, why still have the ones online that you charge for? Maybe they're just hoping they'll get more readers to jump across to digital. I don't know what the case may be, but it does...
Just get that code to your friend or something.
Right, there's that. You know, that's always the plus of it, which is probably what the main thing that they're banking on is that you won't necessarily go on and get it, but you'll pass it along to somebody else, and they'll get their money or their subscription that way, however that works. But, I mean, I'm only just now breaking into the digital comics world. I'm still kind of anti-digital reader, but I'm enjoying it for the most part. But, yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why they would keep it at that price, because they can.
I know, it's their business, but it doesn't make sense to me. I want to know, I would just, like, there's Marvel titles I want to try. And, you know, Marvel's usually good at stuff in terms of progressing, like, the trades. Whenever there's a trade out, they get that shit out immediately, unlike DC where it takes a fucking year to get it out. You know, you would think they would be on this, but I guess digital's the one thing where they're dragging their heels on, but whatever. Fuck y'all, the Cena Trump Digital will get my money in that department, I guess. So let's, enough news. Let's move on to our book of the week, or shall we say, disappointment of the week, with Avengers: Children's Crusade, number 9 of 9. This shit is finally over. Over. Hush, I'm talking. So, at the end of last issue, we left with Cassie, dead, apparently, and apparently she's dead. Dr. Doom killed her, And of course, this lead, basically the story is, this is, I would call the epilogue. Issue 8 really ended the series, and this is sort of, okay, here's where, it's like the final 10 minutes of Return of the King, whereas, okay, this person goes here, and this person goes here, you know? So, Cassie's dead.
You'd have to wait 3 months for the ending of Return of the King.
It felt like 3 months sitting at a theater. Okay, the curtains go, oh, we still gotta be here, I gotta pee. Anyways. So basically, the death of Cassie Stature, who I'm not gonna lie, I'm kind of glad she's dead, because good lord, that character was annoying for years. For years, she was annoying. She was whiny and annoying, and I'm kind of glad she's dead.
To segue for a hot second, do you realize that she grew up faster than both Peter Parker and Franklin Richards?
Yeah.
Remember when she first showed up, she was about the age that Franklin started, you know, running around with the 4.5, whatever. But between then and now, dude, she went shoom.
Yeah, I know. No, now trust me. I believe, yeah, no, I know. She's dead. It doesn't matter. So this causes Iron Lad to basically lose his shit and destroy the Young Avengers Vision. And, of course, he's irreparable or whatever. Or they don't want to go to the Avengers to repair him, which I believe would lead to then the current Vision showing up because Tony Stark, I don't know, something like that. Which also leads to an interesting point where they say, we can take it to the time stream, we can fix this, yada, yada. He's talking like a crazy maniac. He's like, you realize this is the point where you become the Kang the Conqueror. And he tells him that bone-chilling line, no, I'm going to be better than Kang the Conqueror. Boom. So look, I'm pretty sure you're going to look for Iron Lad to show up sooner or later as a villain. And the one big thing that bugs me, the X-Men have been so bloodthirsty for Wanda. Bloodthirsty. And then Cyclops is like, yeah, you know what? We're here. We could kill you, but we're going to let you live knowing that we'll never forgive you. Is Cyclops Catholic? I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Because he's got no leg to stand on.
I guess, but
I'm sorry. All of those kinds of conversations, you killed hundreds of people. You know, there's no forgiving what you've done. Come on, Magneto, we're leaving.
Hit her.
Yes.
Like, how do you utter both of those sentences at the same time?
I'm
sorry.
Turn it right there and let it happen, too.
We all knew
exactly.
We all knew she wasn't going to die. But hit her. Slap her. God, everybody's going to think I'm pro-violence towards women with this episode. Hit her. Do something. Not just like knowing she'll never forget. What the fuck was that? Come on, Heinberg. we get some a little suspicion on why Simon Wonderman leaves the Avengers or why he goes apeshit. It turns out Jamie Madrox is pissed at her. And basically the last issue focuses on the team is supposed to focus on, the Young Avengers. Eli quits. Kate kind of quits, but then she comes back. And it's sort of watching them okay, this is what, like when Spider Island happens or when Schism happens or the Human Torch returned. And Arnold, I'm pretty sure you appreciated the half page of Billy and I can't remember the other kids, the full makeout section
Eddie.
Between the two.
Yes, sir. About damn time.
I was like I'm reading that in Texas on the bus, and like I had an old woman have a heart attack to see that. I'm like,
that's fine. I'm sure she's lived enough.
And it basically ends, and we get to some like little throwaway to AV. I guess it's the only tie in the AVX where like you diffuse our X-Men conflict, and then Jessica Jones says for now, which I'm like, okay, that was a little weird. And they basically build him statues. So Scott Lang is among the living. He's back from the dead because of Tim
for
time
no
shifts.
No real reason.
Yeah, I don't remember here. Well, they killed Eric O'Grady. So maybe the Ant-Man is, they killed the Ant-Man in Secret Avengers.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep. He just died like 2-3 issues ago.
He got stomped to death.
He's trying to save a kid, right?
Get out of town. He died right after I stopped reading.
Yeah. So basically it ends with they build a statue of Stature, the Young Avengers Vision, and for whatever reason, despite that he's alive, a statue of Scott Lang. I'm like, why does he get one? He's not dead.
Anymore,
at least. I'm not going to lie. I don't think it was terrible as a lot of people said it was. I thought the art was good as normal, good as always. It was okay. It was... This was basically false advertising for Marvel, though, as like, this is going to be the lead into AVX. No, it wasn't. Other than that, Wanda is still out there. Yeah, we already knew that. So, yeah. If you picked this issue just because of an AVX tie-in, you're the fucking moron. I'll say that right now. But if you were reading this as a whole from 9 issues, you know, was it a little disappointing? Pretty much, yeah. But whatever. 3 out of 5 for me. Arnold.
You covered a lot of the high and low points, essentially, that I had as well. It was kind of a lackluster ending for me, and I guess I never really thought of it as a epilogue to the story, so I guess in kind of that regard, it does work, but just at this point now, let me know where I can go and read about the Young Avengers. Now that they've become, quote-unquote, official Avengers, are we going to see them in that book more often, you know? Are we finally going to let other people write them, or does it just end here and they're still only going to end up in cameos or team-ups with everybody else and just kind of fade off into obscurity? Because they did make a big deal about this coming back and supposedly having major ramifications with Avengers versus X-Men, which we now know is false. Because nothing really alluded to that.
That she's will right. Never forgive you.
Yeah. What are the case may be? And we don't even know how big of a role Wanda is supposed to play in Avengers versus X-Men, so we can't even say how valid that counts as a connection yet either.
Well, there's that cover of her and Hope Summers together. So.
Right, that's true. So hopefully that'll allude to something, but we know how comic book covers go. On a whole, I really enjoyed it. I've always enjoyed Young Avengers when Heiberg and Chung are working on it. They've always been a great team with these characters. The Cassie death really did not affect me all that much. Like, I really couldn't be bothered. She was getting slightly on the annoying side. I was really surprised at Eli quitting. I wonder if they'll bring him around at some point again. And maybe he'll stick around and we will get some semblance of a team back together again. But I will agree with you, or a little bit higher, 3.5 out of 5.
Taser, take it away. Bring the wrecking ball home.
Very, very, very lame ending to an otherwise interesting story. I was expecting them to follow up on, you know, Doom's whole thing. He stole... what, 90% of whatever the hell it was that Wanda had, and he left, and both the Avengers and the X-Men went, yeah, he's gone, oh no, Stature's dead, and Doom's gone, yeah, and then Wolverine went nothing because he didn't do jack shit in this book. And his whole thing was, Wanda, she's got to die. I got to kill her. Grr! And in this book, he did not a damn thing. And Cyclops, ooh, I don't shave as much as I keep some stubble on because it makes me look like I've got balls. Ooh, and I'm going to wave my finger and then tell Magneto to let's go.
Come on, Magneto.
And then Wanda, she's like, I need to learn how to be Wanda Maximo. Just Wanda. Not Scott. Shut. Whap.
Shut up.
Whap. Whap, whap, whap. Hold on, come here. Whap, 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 whap. I'm sorry. The whole Wanda resolution was a joke. You know, you know what this was? This was, okay, it's the ninth book. I don't know what I'm going to do. I have to tie it all together, and I really have no ideas because I just got rid of Doom. Okay, I'm going to put some words in a hat, stir it together, and dump it out and see how they land. I'm going to roll some bones. Hey, give me no chicken bones. I'm going to roll the bones, and however they land, that's what I mean, really, this ending sucked. You know, I mean, I was enjoying, like the rest of y'all, I was enjoying the story. You know, it bounced along. It was a nice road. I can't wait to see what we do here. And I didn't really care that Teen Vision. Wasn't Teen Vision supposed to be Iron Lad from a different reality or some crap?
It's his program. It's his mental.
Programming and memories.
Yeah. Okay. So that's why Cassie was like,
him being kaput. And nobody really did anything. It would no, stop. Do you know what you're doing? The adults stood there. All of the adults just stood there and went, okay, yeah, beat up on the android. Wanda didn't do nothing. Everybody did. You know, none of the other freaking most of the other Young Avengers, they just kind of, well, he's just beating up on an android. You know, this guy who's been with us for a while, you know, he's just an android. No, don't do it. Stop, don't do it. Beat up on the android. And, just like, wow, man. And I forgot, when I saw that scene with freaking Simon, you know, coming and hugging Wanda and then flying off, I had forgotten. I don't remember him being there. I'm like, when did he show up? You know, I don't remember at all. And then, you know, it kind of kills me because I'm remembering this is, if this happens before Spider Island and half of the other crap that's happened, that means that this has got to have happened before Simon and his group, the whatever.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Okay, so. You mean to tell me that Cap let him fly off with that chip on his shoulder? Never addressed it? And then act completely surprised when Simon showed up and went, hey, we're going to kick your ass. He apparently knew about it here. So what the hell? Man, you know, this book doesn't, it doesn't fit, you know? I just, and yeah, okay, we got, the wizard and, you know, Hulkling kissing. Ooh, I feel the love. Yay. Full page. Whatever. Okay. Cool. Let me smack off to it. And the rest of it. Look, the black guy, he felt guilty because he acted like a douche throughout most of the series. I can admit that. He's like, we're going to do this. Oh, no, that didn't work. Oops, my bad. I'm going to leave because I suck. Yeah, goodbye. And the end result, freaking Miss Marvel shows up. She goes, guys, come with me. Captain America said, do it now. And they show up and it's like, no matter what happens, you got statues of dead people. Yay. What the fuck, man? What was that? What was that? We couldn't dedicate this statue without you. Big deal. That does nothing for the characters. I mean, who cares if, well, we remember those who were lost. What? It doesn't tell anything about what's coming next. It's just, I need to end this story now. That's what that was. And I'm sorry. This book this one gets a zero. You know, I'm saying it. It, you know, who wrote this?
Same people who wrote
Alan Heinberg.
Okay, Heinberg, you dick. You suck.
He's making money doing all that Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, he doesn't give it, like, keep talking.
Well, then that explains why he sucks. Because he's used to writing stories involving red-headed, freckle-faced jackasses and, like, 45-year-old...
and Taye Diggs.
Yeah, this horrible, horrible ending to an otherwise very enjoyable story. You know, I still say it's mostly worth the read. I mean, I really was enjoying this story. It's worth the read, but my God, this ending just such a letdown. You know?
Yeah, but that's what happens with Young Avengers books, because they never tell you where the Young Avengers are going. That's because nobody fucking knows. Not even Marvel. Because you never know if they're going to stick around for good or if this is it and they're going to be gone. Well, look, well, in this issue alone, they disbanded and came back together within three pages.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, for whatever reason or another, Heinberg had a virtual stranglehold on those characters. And
well, I heard it was a mix of both, because I heard him also from the Marvel end, is Marvel didn't want anybody else but him writing.
Well, yeah, that's what I meant. They only want, now that he's quote-unquote done, maybe now Marvel, like, we'll see them pop up in different places. Versus not existing at all.
Avengers Academy, right after the Runaways. Woo! Yeah, I don't wish.
That's another one that's dropped off the face of everything, the Runaways.
No, they're in Avengers Academy!
No, but I'm just saying, like, their own book, like, I don't even know if it was even announced that their book was ending. After a while, you just stop seeing issues of the Runaways.
Woo!
Because I didn't really collect it, but...
All right, any last-minute comments other than that we're never going to forgive Wanda Maximoff ever again? Never again.
I'll forgive her, just to piss off Scott Summers.
I'm sorry, but, you know, she needed to at least get slapped.
That's what I said. Like, punch in the... At least punch her.
Happened.
Or blast her with his visor on low setting or something.
But you know what, though? This is Marvel. And in Marvel, you can commit the greatest of atrocities and then just kind of, okay, let me go away for a while.
Especially if it wasn't something part of your control.
And be made an Avenger. Once an Avenger, always an Avenger. Hey, my name is Wanda Maximoff. I fucked over millions of people who were mutants.
Yep.
Can I come back home now?
Yeah, because if the X-Men don't want you, we'll take you.
Exactly. Ah, this is my Marvel blows. I mean, DC made Lex Luthor president. But you know what? I'll say this. Lex Luthor went and played the game straight when he was president for the most part.
Yeah.
Wanda, Captain America is complicit. And knowing what Wanda is, knowing what she's done, and would have still taken her back. Fuck him. There you go.
Well, I know another man who will take her. Dr. Stranger, that dude's a secret horn dog. So let's go
ahead
and go to individual reviews. I think that's my best segue ever. To where I'm going to review Defenders number 4. Obviously, I made this the book of the week twice. This is the first time. This issue wasn't about the team. This was really... a done-in-one, kind of done-in-one about Doctor Strange. Obviously, at the end of issue 3, they had stolen the Concordance machine, and they're basically trying to figure out, what the fuck is this thing? And there's a really funny line that I literally laughed out, a funny sequence where I literally laughed out loud, where they're like, well, what the fuck does this do? You know, because, like, you know, in the last issue, they would hit it, and reality changed. And there's a funny line where, Danny Rand's like, it changed my comic book, and they didn't change them back. And they used to be light and funny, but now, and then, like, he's like, well, you know what? My questions are pretty stupid. You guys continue going on ahead. Which I thought was, like, really metaphysical to, like, from Fraction to do that. But it centers around Doctor Strange trying to figure out what the fuck the thing is, while also reintroducing the girl Molly, I think her name is, about, like, it's kind of her thought process of sleeping with Doctor Strange, and she needs this book. But she's like, and, you know, it's like you sleep with somebody you regret and you don't ever want to see them again. Kind of that kind of feeling. Meanwhile...
Walk of shame.
Yeah, exactly. She has to walk back. And there's this... I'm going to say who... Chris Angel wannabe, who's doing tricks, and he finds out... This guy looks exactly like Chris Angel and everything. And he's like, he realizes that she has something of Doctor Strange. He slips some kind of magic artifact that allows him to become astro, whatever, it doesn't matter. And Doctor Strange is working on something, working on it, trying to meditate, meditating and everything, and he brings back one of his old loves, Martha, whose name escapes me, last name escapes me. And there's this wonderful one page of Doctor Strange is sort of being human again, because, and I really like that sequence, because Doctor Strange, as far as I've known him, or at least he's very pious, that's the right word, pious, and that he's a Sorcerer Supreme, he has to be by himself, he's kind of like a monk, in a way.
Hold on, Doc Strange has been pious?
In a way. He's not a womanizer like Tony Stark is.
Okay, agreed.
In that comparison. And it was just nice, because like, every Doctor Strange I've read, he's hardly ever with anybody but Wong. Most of the time. There are occasions where...
Some romance.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was nice to see Doctor Strange, like, you know, be with somebody, you know, a woman, and he and you, just by the art and the sort of inner monologue, he really cares for this person. And then it's revealed, because I'm not sure if this is, I'm pretty sure this is legit in continuity, that this is, well, this is her, apparently she had died because of ovarian cancer, and she had kids and everything. So for whatever reason, due to this machine, she's back, and Doctor Strange calls it a wishing machine. And that he probably wished, because he was feeling lonely, and probably wished for her to come back. And the guy, the villain who sneaks into this Doctor Strange's house and basically blackmails him into, it's like, you know what? What are the police going to say when they find out this girl is here, you know, trying to blackmail him and everything like that. So Doctor Strange, being the Sorcerer Supreme, basically traps him inside a magic bottle without the guys knowing. And kind of like, yeah, I'm the fucking Sorcerer Supreme, and no, I'm not the Sorcerer Supreme. And it wraps up basically with Molly not wanting to have anything to do with him. It's like, I never want to see you or this book again. And recaps of like a little bit of his history of Martha and like how they fell in love as med students, but she left him for another guy, and he went to the bottom and presumably became the jackass we all know and love. And it turns out Namor has found something at the bottom of the sea with the same distinctions of the Concordance machine. So, bum, bum, bum. What does that mean? So, overall, as a fan of Doctor Strange, it was a nice issue. The art was by Michael Lark, and it fit the tone of sort of a guy being lonely and wanting somebody in his life. Because whether we want to admit it or not, we've all been there. Sometimes you just want to be with somebody, no matter how bad it is. It was a really good book, and it made me want. I was gonna drop this title, but I want to see where this now. I want to see where this goes next, especially what Namor found at the end of the issue. So solid 4 out of 5 for me. Defenders, Matt Fraction playing to his strengths in this issue. Let's go ahead and go to Arnold. Does the shit fest continue with Uncanny X-Men?
Oh, boy, does it continue ever. I'm going to do the briefest of recaps of this book ever because it's fucking pointless and stupid. We're still on this...
You know what? Fuck you. I give my recaps the way I want to. I'm the boss.
What? So we're still in this world of Tabula Rasa, which kind of came through with the events of the whole death of Archangel storyline and Uncanny X-Force. Still don't care about the ton of shit that's gone on. A whole bunch of random bullshit gone on in this book. The team is still separated. They fought whatever big bad it was. We've got Colossus meets up with a group of these things and starts changing into this giant hulking, like, crustacean-looking thing. And then Ileana helps him remember who he is and brings him back to looking like the jolly metal giant. Namor makes out with some fish-looking kind of thing. And they even allude him having sex with said fish kind of thing as kind of like a peace treaty, as it were, to Hope's gross out. Then they kind of just did the wrap up with the regular X-Men. There was some... The most major thing, in my opinion, that happened is, one, they've fixed this place up so now that it's not going to be dangerous to the various parts of flora and fauna that live in it now, which is great. The other point of that was that Magneto destroyed all of the buildings and monuments that had all of the pictures of the story of how that place came into existence. So the world when it found out that it was Uncanny X-Force's fault. So he did that for Betsy, for Psylocke. And they kind of touched on that. I thought that was slightly interesting, so I know that's a secret that they're going to hold. Who knows if that's ever going to come out. And then to top it all off with this series and this second arc that hasn't been all that great. First arc, I was enjoying. I know, Ben, you were kind of iffy on the first arc with Sinister. You weren't the biggest fans.
I was bored.
Right. For me, I kind of enjoyed the Sinister line, and it didn't make me want to drop the book. This very well might be, I'm really trying really hard to give it till the end of Avengers vs. X-Men before I drop it, but they're making it really, really, really difficult. And if that wasn't all well and good and fun enough, I have to deal with more of Greg Land's copied over and over and over and over again art. I will be generous. I will give this issue a 1.5 out of 5.
Is it Greg Land still on art? Is it him?
Yes, it is him still on art. I don't know if he's leaving after this arc, because I know they're doing like, I guess they're doing the whole thing that they were doing with Spider-Man for a while, where it's just,
well, it's just one
rotating cast of artists. Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, however they're breaking it up, maybe they're doing a rotating cast of artists, but Greg Land needs to be taken off that fucking wheel.
I don't know why Marvel keeps putting him on books.
It's pretty and it looks good, but it's fucking stale.
It's not
like,
even pretty.
If he made people look different, I'd probably have less of a complaint about it. It's the fact that, aside, even the men now are starting to all look exactly the same. Like, if it wasn't for the fact that all the females literally look exact same way, just different poses, hair color, and eye color, I'd probably be a little less angry. Vary your shit up some.
It's awful. Fuck him. Taser. Take it away. Take us to school.
Yay! It's time for Avengers Academy number 27.
Hooray!
It wasn't anything else worth reading. It's anyway, this book starts off with Stryker calling a press conference to announce, "Hey, I'm gay and I love it." And, Reptile and what's her name? Julie from Power Pack. You know, Reptile's kind of wondering about, you know, what's going on, how's he going to deal with this? And she's like, oh, well, you have to be understanding because, you know, he's going through a difficult time and blah, 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 blah. Until she actually sees that he's having a press conference. And she's like, well, what about all the confusion and this, that, and the other thing? He's like, what? This is how, you know, I deal with it because, you know, he's an egomaniac. And she's like, that's not how us gays do it. Even though she's bi, which means that, you know, the taser can get it.
She's fucking indecisive. Pick a tie.
No, let her be indecisive. That means she can come play on my side anytime she wants it. Meanwhile, they kind of have enough of Stryker and his whole, yay! And, you know, the Avengers and the Academy people, you know, ushering people out. And, you know, hey! There's a couple of stragglers. Oh, turns out it's the Runaways, who I know nothing about except that there's a tiny chick who hits hard and a magic chick, a staff, and a guy with stuff that he wears, you know, gauntlets, and some guy who was made by Ultron. I don't know what
the hell's going on. Did you mention the dinosaur?
No, because the dinosaur wasn't there. That's why the blonde dude with the gauntlets was there for, because they had to go get the dinosaur. However, they get caught by Justin and his big giant sentinel. And they're like, oh my god, it's a sentinel! Get into attack formation! And they start doing the typical, you know, effed up meeting where, you know, they're fighting first. And, you know, freaking Hank shows up and he's like, okay, now let's calm everything down here, freaking Tiger's like, oh no, fire! And, you know, the little tiny girl with the funny hat knocks the crap out of Metal because he made her pee. So, okay, everything's calmed down. And what kills me is that, okay, Hank is actually trying to do a decent job of, you know, well, I don't understand why you guys are here. Please explain to me. And blonde dude looking for the dino's like, look here, old guy! And he does this enough that I'm just kind of, smack him. What the you know, I understand that, you know, that these kids apparently have been through a whole lot. And, you know, they're running to keep out of people trying to control their lives because their parents are supervillains. And through reading this, you know, find out that Captain America tried to put them in a home and, you know, a bunch of other stuff. So, okay, fine. They don't trust authority figures. And something about the X-Men, I don't know what, because I didn't read it. But if you sneak onto somebody's property to try to get their help, the least you can do is be polite about it. The goth chick and the blonde guy looking for the dino, they needed to get their asses kicked. I mean, seriously. Or at least have somebody come correct on that behavior. Doesn't happen because Hank's too nice and Tigra, well, you know, not for nothing, but she's a pussy. And I do mean that. She's really a pussy.
She is, actually.
Yeah, there's a double entendre there, you know. Anyway, so then you have the... whatever was left of Avengers Academy, and then you have the runaways in the same room, and, you know, it's like, oh, look, it's a mixer. Slowly they'll start talking to each other. And Stryker manages to pick out the one girl who apparently is gay, and Julie didn't think he was like, you can't tell any... He actually surprises her because, yes, you feel said, well, no, I'm just not confused about it, but yes, I am gay. She's like, oh! the kid that Ultron made, He apparently knows a bit about White Tiger, and he worshipped the new White Tiger's brother. He was, and White Tiger has a problem with Rip because he's Hispanic, and he doesn't ooze Hispanicness and, you know, try to play up, hey, I'm Hispanic. Weba! You know, he doesn't do any of that crap. And he's like, hey, so I'm Mexican, and I like Captain America, Zumi. You know, White Tiger, she needs... Well, you know, she needs something long, hard, and put in a portal somewhere on her body. And I am not going to fill that anymore. And it basically goes like that. And freaking Hank and what's her name, they decide, we've got to help the children. Help the children, even if they don't want to be helped. So Hank brings them down to the lab, and they open up the gobbledygook, and, you know, Goth chick uses her magic thingy to power the gobbledygook, and it opens up the doorway. They go into Dino Land, and, you know, they find the raptor, Blue or Old, whatever the hell, Old Lace, I think her name was. Its name was. It's like a raptor with like blue markings, which I don't get, but I also don't care. And apparently, she was hanging out with Devil Dinosaur and Moon Boy, which, that's kind of cool to me, all right? I like that. You know, I haven't seen them in a while. But last panel, or rather the last three panels, oh, yeah, we're all back together again. And then Goth Chick is, you know, she's all like, okay, well, that's all nice. Let's see what these evil adults have planned. And she, you know, gets a glimpse of the last bit of the conversation that, you know, Hank and, you know, Furry Cat had, where they talk about, we've got to do it even if they don't trust us after all, whatever the hell. And she's like, bum, bum, bum. She's upset. Sparkly effects to be continued. And I really don't care. I the Runaways do not interest me at all as a concept.
It's just, you know,
oh, teens with attitudes and issues. Yay, because we don't have enough of those books. This book was, okay, I'm done with it. Let's move it along, even though next issue is going to be more of them and there's going to be fighting, undoubtedly. I really don't care. Pardon me. I can't really rate. This wasn't a horrible book, but, you know, I was mostly uninterested. Aside from Julie, because, you know, bi chicks are interesting, you know, and I'm waiting to see the chick that she hooks up with. Please let us see her hook up with a chick. Anyway, I'm going to give this 2.8 out of 5, you know, just a little bit less than Midland Affair. Here we go.
Well, that does it for our individual reviews. We hope you liked them. If not, you can go They'll suck our nuts. Arnold would appreciate that. Well, let's move on to our final topic just for shits and giggles. We haven't done this in a while. Our verses of the week. This time, Puck versus Squirrel Girl. I'm gonna say Squirrel Girl just because I don't give a shit about Puck and Canadians suck. And if you've ever seen a bunch of squirrels when they're hungry, they are fucking menacing evil little rats. Squirrel Girl wins because she can kill Puck.
I love that. They must have thought they were so creative when they named that guy. He's from Canada. What's Canada known for? Hockey. All right, we'll name him Puck. Awesome. Awesome.
He's even the kids dressed will buy like
it. They'll eat it up. They'll eat it up. They'll eat it up.
Yeah, he's black and small.
He can bounce around like a hockey puck.
Yeah.
So great.
Taser, are you going to pick Puck on this one?
Yeah, and you know why? Hey, Puck just came out of hell. So he's not straight, you know. He's had a bit of an edge, you know, from what we saw in that last Alpha Flight mini. And Puck's actually a tough character. He's taken on teens before, and I'm not saying he's taken them out, but he's done what he needed to do and not get touched in the process. She, on the other hand, I think Puck could nail it, and I'm not saying with a right fist, although he could do that. Puck has game. Puck would be able to convince her to, hey.
Game recognized game, Squirrel Girl.
Exactly. Come on over. Shake that.
Come on over.
Club ride. And, you know, next thing you know, she'd forget about Wolverine. So, yeah, Puck takes this and takes that ass. That's all I can say.
So, Squirrel Girl's going to win, right?
Yep.
Fuck Puck. Fuck Canada.
Blame Canada. Blame Canada.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap us up. Episode number 94. First and foremost, I would like to thank Batman Jones and Gotham Knight 13, that's their Twitter handles, for allowing me to be on their show. My segment is set to debut this weekend. It's going to be basically us talking about The Dark Knight Rises, the upcoming Warner Brothers picture film starring Christian Bale as Batman. Needless to say, it looks like I dropped a big bomb theory on them. I saw it at an angle that they weren't necessarily seen. So check them out, BatPod, Twitter.com. I believe it's batpod.com. I believe they're on iTunes as well. Go listen to the show. They're a great group of guys. They are, as they described it to me, their show is basically Batman for the casual reader, as I'm going to interpret it. So if you're a hardcore Batman fan, you may not want to tune in. But if you're into Batman, but you're not into Batman, like you want to date him, but you don't want to be in a relationship with him, that's a show for you. Very good guys. I want to thank them for them being on the show. And who knows, maybe you'll hear them on our show as we count down to 100. You want to our Twitter.
Ooh, 100!
Our Twitter.com, SwordsterPcast. I want to say hello to all our new Twitter followers in the past couple of weeks. I appreciate you guys following us. And
all 30 of y'all. Kick ass.
We're at 48. We're at 48, actually.
Woo!
So, and hopefully y'all stick with us. You know, in the coming months. It only took us nearly 100 episodes to gain notoriety around the internet. The Warriors Theory at gmail.com is where you can contact us. And, of course, the place where we all met and drunkenly fell asleep together, the greenlandandcore.com/forum.
Hey, who's touching me?
If you go make fun of Fearless for still being a bitch despite that his computer is fixed, go do that. Other than that, we'll see you next week for the big number 95.
Deuces. I just wanted noted that this episode, Ben cursed more than I did.
There sure.
I let my haters be my motivators. Fuck y'all.
Wow.
Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win. For the times they are. cheese.